Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. How does a girl who grew up in Uganda under the dictatorship of Idi Amin become a Christian lawyer? How did she survive the assassination of her father and being tormented by demons as a child? This is the story of Jahan Burns, a story of deliverance from darkness and freedom in Jesus Christ. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We pause here at the beginning of our show, speaking about the light of life here at the Good Life radio program. The reason we're here is to lead you, dear friend, to the light of life, to the Lord Jesus Christ. For you to know that there's always hope in Jesus, no matter what you're facing, what you're going through. God loves you so much, John 3:16. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, yes. On the third day, he rose again from the grave. And that message, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, the resurrection hope of Jesus is a message that has transformed the heart and life of Jahan Burns. And Jesus reaches out to you. Will you turn to him? Turn to God's way from your way. That's called repentance. Would you do that? That's our prayer and our hope. Look, if you already know the Lord, we believe you're going to be blessed by Jahan Burns. She's an attorney and the chief operating officer of the two sister Christian organizations, JH Israel and U.S. Israel Education Association, or USIEA. Jahan migrated from Africa to England and finally to the United States. She practiced law at the law firm of Sirotti and Permit in Birmingham, Alabama, until the Lord called her to serve him in ministry. Jahan is married to Bob Burns. They have two children. Jahan, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. So excited to be here. Well, thank you for having me.
I mentioned Uganda. Tell us more about where you grew up in Uganda.
Sure. So I was born in Kampala, and Kampala is the capital city of Uganda. Back before the colonialists came, we were in tribal settlements, and I come from a tribe called Buganda, which was the biggest tribe at that time. But so when Britain came and colonized the area, they later brought all these different tribes together and formed a country called Uganda, and Uganda got its name out of my tribe, Buganda. So we eventually got our independence in the 60s, and the country sort of struggled after the British left. And so we had civil war for many years. So I was born in the midst of civil war. I was actually born in 1979. We had a very infamous dictator called Idi Amin, and my father helped oust him. And in that year that he was ousted, 1979, that was the year that I was born. And for the first probably 6 years of my life was intense civil war. But eventually we were able to get peace. And I grew up in Uganda, in Kampala, in the capital city. I went to school there. It's a third world country. So as far as I've always known, you know, Uganda, it's been very poor, but also a country that's filled with people that are so loving and so kind and very neighborly. And it's a country that's experienced revival for the last about 30 years. You know, Christianity has been really growing and strong. And I'm grateful for that.
John, growing up in a time of war, tense, almost indescribable experiences, who would you say during that time influenced you most there in those growing up years?
So I would say probably in the first 6 years of my life, it would have been my dad. So my earliest memories, Danny, memories of war, and my father was right in the midst of that. He, after the ouster of Idi Amin, you know, our country was thrown deeper into civil war, and there were fighting factions, different fighting factions, and my dad found himself, you know, having to lead an army to protect, you know, Kampala and other areas that my tribe inhabited. So we were very much products of the war, and it was very dysfunctional, very chaotic. And of course, as a child, it's hard to process, you know, war. When you see your first corpse at 5 years old, you know, to really understand death at that age is almost impossible, but it's very traumatic. So our house was bombed when I was about 5 and a half, and my dad went into complete guerrilla warfare. My mom went into exile. But I remember that even after my dad came back and got us, you know, it was always, you know, life was always, we were surrounded by soldiers, surrounded by war. But I remember that he was a very strong person. He had very high ideals and values and moral standards. And so, you know, even at a young age, I saw my dad save people's lives. I saw him, you know, go out night after night with soldiers to just rescue villages from attacks by rebels. So he was a hero, and I looked up to him, and I knew that there were so many people that looked up to him. And so it was that at that young age, I always knew that he was special and that he was someone that cared about people. And I think that is something that I've always carried, you know, in different aspects of my life where I've had to lead, that the number one thing that God cares about and that I should care about is people, that you love people well, you care for people well, you lead sacrificially. I learned that very importantly from my dad in the first 6-7 years of my life. My mom, of course, even though my dad died younger, you know, that influence still stayed on. But my mom, you know, in the latter years of probably from about age 10, my mom was the most influential, no doubt about that. She was a young widow when my dad died, and she never remarried. And she was in a country that was extremely poor, and women were, you know, chattel property. And she was depressed. She lost everything. But she was so determined to see us go to school, to work hard, to make something of ourselves. And she sacrificed, you know, completely for us to be better and to achieve what she never achieved. And I saw her love for people. She was a person that was incredibly generous. And she gave me the values I have today for hard work and sheer determination. Like, the word impossible just didn't exist with her. She would fail so many times, and she always tried again and again and again. And so it's the standard that she really taught me, that, you know, you work hard and you keep going and you persevere no matter what, you know. So, yeah, those two people.
Well, in the face of depression, in the face of war, in the case of your father and yourself, John, in the face of death, at such an early age to see your father taken, gone, and then to grow up with such uncertainty. You're listening to Jahan Burns. Jahan is an attorney now and the chief operating officer of the two sister Christian organizations, JH Israel and U.S. Israel Education Association, or USIEA. Jahan, your journey of faith, I want us to go there to talk about how you became a Christian. But as you describe your mother, because I anticipate we're going to spend quite a bit of time on the journey of how you came to know the Lord. But when you think back about your mother and your father, before we go to our break, are there words or phrases that you remember to this day your father saying to you as a child? Of course, before he passed, before he was killed. Do you hear his voice? Does he say anything? Are there things that you remember?
So, Danny, that's a very good question. Do you remember the movie that came out a few years ago called The Help? There's a very touching scene in there of this maid that's looking after this baby girl that's a toddler. And she's telling her and encouraging her. The little child was crying. And this maid encouraged her and she told her, you is smart, you is kind, you is important. My dad always told me that I was important, you know. And he would drop whatever he had to do just to listen to you and tell you that you were important. And I think that when I look back at my journey of faith, my dad wasn't, he was Christian in name, but he didn't really know Jesus. But what I really remember that's etched on my mind was he took me to church once to be baptized. And he made it like the most special occasion. Like we sang hymns, it was a huge service. And it was so meaningful for me at that age, you know, and he told me that God loved me. And I didn't know exactly what that meant, but he said it. And fast forward, you know, I remember that the day that he came to pick me up from school, the last day that I ever saw him, you know, it was a day of heavy, heavy fighting in Kampala. And he picks me up with, you know, a convoy of armored vehicles and soldiers, and we're riding home and driving home, and they're shooting at us, and our soldiers are shooting back. We get home, and you know, he's restless, he's pacing up and down and receiving phone call after phone call because he'd been part of a unity government that had fallen apart. So he got this call to go to the hotel where they used to have the peace talks, and he goes there, you know, he takes all these soldiers to go to try and re-engage in the peace talks, and it was a trap, and he was assassinated and, you know, shot multiple times and thrown in a ditch. But I remember that when they eventually found his body, you know, so many days later, and I could not recognize him, and we were in the village, and as a child, I'm looking at this corpse, and they're telling me I have to wash it and prepare it for burial, and this is my dad. I went into a state of shock, and I was like, how can that be my dad? You know, the person I remember being my dad was someone that was strong and kind, and he was larger than life. And now I was looking at this decomposing corpse, and I was like, that's not my dad. And in my mind, you know, I sheltered this picture of this person I saw last, you know, larger than life, amazing, you know, intelligent, smart, kind, funny. But I remember that, you know, we went through this intense mourning period with thousands of people showing up for the funeral. And then we had a full military funeral. And I had gone into a state of shock. I didn't cry. I saw my mom just cry and weep. I thought she was going to die. My siblings were just really, really heartbroken and crying. But I didn't. I just felt so cold, and I felt so heavy inside, like someone had got a heavy stone and just placed it inside my chest, and I didn't react to anything. But I remember that probably before that gun salute, they were singing hymns, and they sang this hymn in my native language in Uganda, and to translate it, it says, I am so glad. I am so glad that Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, how he loved me, how he loved me. And that is the first time in weeks since, you know, I'd had the news that my father had died, it was the first time that I was stirred. There was such a strange stirring within my heart that made me want to cry. I didn't even know what the words meant. No one had ever really sat down to explain to me who Jesus was, you know. But I know that those words became written on my heart. It was like someone just got a pen and wrote those words on my heart. And interestingly, I associated them with sorrow because I was going through sadness. So later in life, every time I went through something traumatic and extremely painful, those words would come back. That song would come back to me, and I would hear the lyrics, and I would hear the words, and I would cry, but I didn't know what it meant. You know, my mom was Muslim, and she, you know, later after my dad died, she had, you know, converted us to Islam when I was about 10 years old. So I had no concept who Jesus really was, you know. But when I came to faith later on and I realized who Jesus was and what those words meant, it was such a aha moment, because I began to understand that God had been there in the midst of the most traumatic event in my life. When I couldn't make sense of anything, God used those words to comfort me. I just didn't understand it was Him, and I didn't understand the impact of those words. And later on in life, every time I hit a milestone of trauma, there were those words again, meaning there was God again, just telling me, I died for you, I love you, you know, I'm there for you. So Danny, so in looking back, I see that thread that you know, God was just weaving, you know, in that tapestry of my life, but I didn't understand it until much later. So I've explained to you that we went from the funeral. It was very difficult. We lost everything. Everything was stolen. We were very poor. Years of extreme trauma. We turned to Islam because my mom was a Muslim and she had us converted. But also in turning to Islam, my mom also turned to witchcraft because, you see, she was looking for God. She was looking for a spiritual connection to my father. She was looking for answers, and we didn't find them. We didn't find them anywhere else. And so we turned to witchcraft and the occult, which of course opens you up to the supernatural forces of demonic influences. But, you know, I was thrown into that. But at age 13, you know, we're in a British system of education. I go from primary school to secondary school. And the best school we had was a British missionary founded girls boarding school in Uganda. And you had to really score very highly to get into that school. And thank God I did. And I get into that school. And by this time, we already had got a new president who was now paying for me and my sister's education in recognition of everything my dad had done for the country. So I end up in this Christian school, you know, missionaries and surrounded by missionaries and Christian girls. And there was a handful of Muslim students, and I was one of them. And it was there that people started to tell me about Jesus.
Let's come back to this point, the hatred that you felt while you were at this school. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear more from Jahan Burns. A story of tragedy, a story of trial, a story of hatred, but a story that points to the gospel. The remnant of Jesus dying for a person's sins lived on in Jahan Burns' heart and life. When we come back, you're going to hear more from her. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Wandering the road of desperate life. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Jahan Burns, her life story is replete with trials, tragedies, and triumphs. Her father was an Israeli-trained commando who served his country, Uganda, until he was assassinated in 1986. Following his death, Jahan and her family became destitute. They were dependent on miracles to survive. Jahan was raised as a Muslim until her dramatic conversion to Christianity. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Danny Yamashiro here with Jahan Burns, joining us from Alabama. Jahan, as we talk about the vitriol, as you use that word, vitriol, while you were in school, a girls' school, how did God take you from that point to opening your heart to Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Danny. Well, there was a particular girl that the Lord spoke to about me, you know, and she came to me and she said, Jahan, Jesus has told me that he loves you and he's going to save you. And this girl made it a point on a daily basis to come and tell me that and to present a gospel. And the more she did it, the more I hated her. And one day I was seated with her in a biology class. And when the class ended, she leaned over and she said, I have a message for you. I have something to tell you. I was like, well, what's that? I was sort of curious. I thought she was maybe going to gossip or just tell me something very interesting. And she leaned over and she said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me that you are about to get saved. And Danny, I flew into this rage. You see, I used to have these uncontrollable rages and temper tantrums. And when I felt it come upon me, I couldn't stop it. And it would consume me. That anger would just consume me until I had expended it all. And then I would be exhausted and hardly be able to function for days. So this rage came upon me and I started yelling and screaming at her and just saying, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And the table between us was a metallic table, you know, with one leg missing, so a three-legged table, and it was wobbly as I shook it in anger, and her pencil that was on the table started rolling and it fell on the floor. So she bent to pick up that pencil while I'm screaming at her, and with this superhuman demonic strength, you would say, I shoved the table and it came toppling on her neck, and it hit her neck, and she screamed so loud and she passed out. And all of a sudden this rage lifts and I'm like, oh my goodness, what have I done? I start crying because I think I've killed her. So I ran to the headmistress's office, the staff room. I couldn't even, you know, speak coherently because I was just overcome with terror at what I had done. I had done so many things in rage. I'd never hurt a person this bad. So they come get her and they're asking me what happened. I'm just crying and incoherent. I can't tell them. So they took her away. And for the next, you know, so many days, I was just in agony. I just didn't know, you know, I didn't know if I'd kill this girl. And I kept on thinking, anytime the police are going to come, they're going to arrest me and, you know, take me to prison for killing someone. But after so many days, this girl comes back and she has a brace around her neck. And she finds me seated on my bed. And she's a very soft-spoken girl by nature. And she just gently eases herself next to me on the bed. And she looks at me and she says, Jahan, I know you think I hate you for what you did to me, but I don't hate you. She says, you see, I woke up and I was in so much pain. And I was angry because of what you did to me. She said, then I felt Jesus. She said, I didn't see him, but I felt him and he was so close. He was so close that it felt like I could touch him. And she said, he told me that he loved you and that you are going to get saved. and that I need to forgive you. And so she looked at me and she said, John, Jesus loves you and you're going to get saved. And she proceeds to tell me the gospel again. And Danny, something within me just broke. I wanted to cry so bad. So I just walked away. But I started to ask myself, what kind of people are Christians that they hate you when you, you know, they love you when you hate them. They repay good for the evil that you've done to them. And from that moment on, I just could not bring myself to hate that girl or to insult her. And, you know, shortly after that, I was in the dorm room by myself on a Saturday. The girls would go to chapel for their prayers. I was Muslim. I didn't have to go. And I was reading a book and I suddenly felt the presence of evil, you know, around me. And I thought, I'm going to die. You know, to someone that has never experienced that, they would think that's a very irrational thought. But to people that are plagued by this kind of thing, it is real. It is very a fearful thing to go through. You know, some people will call it a panic attack, whatever you want to call it. For me, it just was an evil presence that I felt, you know, around me. And I just thought, I'm going to die. I'm just going to die. And I thought, what do I do? What do I do? So instinctively, I felt, run, Jahan, run. So I jumped from my bed. I was on the, you know, upper bunker. And I jumped down, put my shoes on, and began to run in the dark. And my school, you know, my dorm room was on the bottom of a hill. So I was running uphill, poorly lit, you know, and I would fall down, get up, and just run so hard. I was crying. I was afraid. And I didn't know where I was going. But I come to a stop, and I've come right outside the chapel. I'm standing outside the chapel. I had no intention of going to the chapel. I was Muslim, for goodness sake. I didn't really need to be in the chapel. But I stood out there, and I had all this fear. And I thought, what do I do? And I thought, I could just walk around, go into the chapel, sit down in the back, catch my breath, figure out what to do, you know. And so I decided to sneak in from the back. Well, when I did that, someone turned around and saw me, and they gasped. And then everyone turned around and they started whispering and gasping. And I sat down and I started thinking, oh my gosh, they hate me. You know, I had been mean and awful to each of those girls in there. So I thought they were talking, you know, terrible stuff about me. And so I sat there for about 5 minutes in very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable with these voices in my head. Just, you know, felt like my head was going to explode. Like, just get out, they hate you, you know. So I stood up and I decided to leave. And I hear footsteps behind me and I want to run again because I have so much fear. And it was a girl in my dorm room called Daphne. And she said, hey, Jahan, it was so good to see you. Would you come back in the chapel? I said, no. I said, everyone's like gossiping about me. She said, no, you don't understand. We've been praying for you for the past year and a half or so. And every weekend we pray for you to come and to find Jesus. And I just looked at her. I was touched they were praying for me. But I was like, no, that's really not my thing. So she just reached out and touched my hand gently. And she said, are you afraid? And I don't know why, Dennis. I just, you know, I just said, yeah. I said, I'm very afraid. She said, well, your dad is dead, right? She's like, my dad died too. The reason I'm telling you this is when my dad died, I was very afraid. And our mom told us to sleep with our Bibles. So she said, you need to do the same thing. So I said, that works. She's like, oh, yeah. So look, I'm coming from witchcraft, you know, the occult. We believe in charms. So I ran all the way back to my dorm room. I have a Bible. I'm in a missionary school. Everyone was given a Bible. I grabbed my Bible. It was a simple Good News Bible, had a blue cover. So I get it and I put it into my bed, put that Bible on my chest, and I'm willing myself to sleep. So I stayed trying to tell myself, go to sleep. And I hear a voice tell me, you know, speak to me. It was like a thought, but it was also like a thought that posed a question to me. Jahan, are you going to sleep with this book and you don't even know what it says? You may as well sleep with your history textbook. I was like, yeah, like what's so special about this book anyway? So I didn't know how to read it. It didn't have a concordance. It was a very simple Bible. You opened it and it fell open to Genesis 1. You closed it at the end and you saw Revelations 22. So I just flipped it open. And when it fell open, Danny, it fell open to Psalm 91. And the words literally leapt off the page. And Psalm 91, the gist of it is a psalm addressed, you know, to a person that's fearful, because it talks about the comfort, you know, the refuge, the shelter of God. It starts, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide in the shadow of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And it goes on to continue saying, you know, you will not be afraid of the terror of the night, of, you know, the plague that stalks at noonday. You know, 1,000 will fall by your side, 10,000 by your right. It will not come near you. God will give his angels to protect you, to take charge of you. You will tread on the lion and the serpent. You understand, my nightmares and demonic visitations came in the form of lions and serpents and scorpions. And here it was that I was reading a passage from the Bible that was addressing every fear I had. And it says at the very end, because he loves me, because he clings to me, I will protect him. I will honor him. And it was just washing over me. These words just literally washed over me. And for the first time in years, I was able to sleep all night without a nightmare, with attack, without a panic, you know, incident.
All night. Jahan, yeah. As you share, someone is listening who, him or herself, they know what it's like to feel the presence of evil. When right. You talk about witchcraft, when you talk about running, when you talk about panic, but you're like a Daphne today saying to a dear friend, to someone who is in this state of fear, reminding them about the power of the Word of God, the presence of God, the peace that comes in the presence of God. When we come back from our break, as we enter into our closing segment of this show, I want you to pray. Pray for someone who is in that place where you were. Now you are a messenger of hope, a messenger of good news with the love of Christ. Jahan Burns, sharing heart to heart with you. Deep stuff. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. Wandering the road of desperate life,
aimlessly beneath the bay. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A little girl was crying one day. A police officer saw her and said, "Why are you crying?" The girl said, "I'm lost." He said, "Do you have your parents' phone number?" She said, "No." She started to sob even more. "Do you have their address?" "No," she said. And suddenly her face changed. Her eyes lit up. The police officer inquired, "What happened?" She said, "I remember. Near my house, there's a church. And at the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, today, will you turn to the cross of Christ, where Jesus shed his blood? He was buried, yes, but he rose again from the grave. The redemptive love of Christ, who died for your sins, his arms outstretched for you today. Would you turn to Jesus, turn to the cross, and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You talk about the darkness of witchcraft. You talk about the presence of evil. You talk about the horrors. You talk about fears, people running crazy, screaming, wondering where is hope, where is help. The light of Christ shone on the life of Jahan Burns. Jahan experienced trials, tragedies, triumphs. Growing up in times of war, the triumphs came when she came to Christ. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. You can find out more about Jahan. In fact, you can reach out to Jahan. Jahan is a woman of prayer. She opens herself to pray for others. Intercessory prayer is her ministry. She's going to pray for you right now. But you can reach out to her at 4psalm91@gmail.com. Psalm91@gmail.com. Jahan, we talk about prayer. I've heard you pray. I've been blessed by your prayers. You keep me and my family in prayer. Will you pray for someone today who is experiencing the fear that you experience, the presence of evil, and the things you described before our break? Would you pray for them to be set free? Would you pray for them to come to the light of Christ?
Yes. Yes, Danny. It will be my honor to do that. And I just want to say that the kind of evil that I experienced, Danny, can only be overcome by the power of Jesus Christ. There is no other name in heaven on earth that is given for the salvation and the deliverance for us than the name of Jesus. It is the most powerful name. So I want to pray for anyone that may be listening out there that is oppressed, that is afraid, that is experiencing the same kind of pain and fear and trauma, to experience the same kind of breakthrough. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today praying for each and every one, Father, at the sound of my voice, that doesn't know you, that we come today, Father, asking that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you loved us so much, Jesus, that you gave your life for us, that whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. So today we pray and we say, Lord Jesus, we surrender our lives to you today. Come and take control. Be our Lord, be our Savior, God. And we want to live for you from now on and evermore. And so, Lord, as we have surrendered our lives to you, I want to pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that has been oppressed of the enemy. Your word says that Jesus was manifested. He came to the earth. One of the reasons he came to the earth was to destroy every work of evil. So in the name of Jesus, by the power of the cross, what Jesus accomplished when he shed his blood for us, God, we want to stand and pray that every work of evil be broken in the name of Jesus, that as this man and woman, boy and child, reach out to God, Father, that you hear them, that you come and intervene in their very situation, that you show them that you are Jesus, you show them that you are God, and you're all powerful, and you're mighty to save. I command the power of Satan to be broken over their lives in the name of Jesus, and I proclaim, oh God, that they are set free, oh God, for he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am praying for those that are sick in the mighty name of Jesus, that they experience breakthrough, that wherever you're hurting, touch that place where it's hurting right now. And I'm praying right now that Jesus, who shed his blood for you, that that blood of Jesus will wash over you right now, that the hand of heaven will touch you wherever it hurts, that you begin to experience the life-giving virtue of Jesus within you, that you get healed and be set free. Lord, I'm praying for those that are oppressed in their minds. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for breakthrough, and I speak clarity and a sound mind for you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I speak peace to those that are afraid. Your word says your peace is like a river. It is like a garrison that will come around our hearts and keep us from fear. And so I pray for the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding to come and guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, and know that it is well. God is in control, and that he is going to make it okay because you have trusted him, because you have called out to him. So God, I just thank you, and I bless your people with peace. I bless your people with provision. I bless them, oh God, with liberty, freedom, and health in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jahan Burns, what a blessing you are. Thank you for praying. The Lord, dear one, as you have heard, as you have received, he sends a woman of prayer, a prayer warrior, someone who knows what it's like to be in the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle, and to see the freedom that is found through Jesus Christ. When we come back from our break, you'll hear how Jahan became a lawyer, how Jahan's life has been used by God to reach out to others, impacting lives even to this very day. You can find out more about her. Reach out to her for Psalm 91, number 4, Psalm number 91 at gmail.com. More from Jahan Burns. Stay with us. We'll be right back. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Jahan Burns migrated from Africa to England and finally to the United States. She practiced law at the law firm of Sirotti and Permut in Birmingham, Alabama, until the Lord called her to serve him in ministry. She continues to travel domestically and internationally, speaking on the saving and delivering power of Jesus Christ. You're listening to The Good Life program. Find out more. You can get this as a free podcast. Just go to drdanny.live. And to connect with Jahan, to connect with her prayer ministry, it's number 4, Psalm 91, number 91, at gmail.com. Jahan, thank you for praying. How did God open the door for you to become a lawyer and then to practice law in America?
Thank you, Danny. Well, I went to law school back in my home country in Uganda. And when I got married, I moved to England, and eventually, as you pointed out, I moved to the US and moved to Alabama. And I remember that I didn't exactly know what to do with myself. So I took a job at a big, big law firm downtown Birmingham and was a paralegal. But I started having a series of dreams in which the Lord was telling me, "I want you to get your law license." And so I enrolled in a non-traditional law school. And decided that I was going to take my 6 core subjects, you know, needed to take the bar, but I ended up really enjoying it a lot because back in Uganda, my law school, we used English law textbooks and we were so many students. It was, law school was much, much harder. But here I was in the US, you know, where I had my own textbooks and I had the luxury of reading whenever I wanted. So law school ended up being very enjoyable and a breeze, actually. So I ended up just going back to law school a second time and took the bar exam. And the law firm that I was working as a legal assistant, you know, decided that I was a good investment, so they gave me a job and began to practice. And the interesting thing, Danny, was, you know, when I began my practice, my supervising attorney, who would have shown me the ropes, ended up getting a promotion and going to Florida. So I didn't have a supervising attorney. So I had to depend on God and work really hard to really learn, you know, the practice and to litigate. But God was faithful, and I litigated, and I never lost a single case in the 8 years that I litigated. And I loved it, but eventually I really felt the call to ministry. As I've shared, you know, I have a heart for people that are suffering, people that I find myself praying a lot for, people that are down, people that are oppressed. And so I just ended up really thinking a lot about what I wanted to do more than even practicing law. And it was to give my time fully to ministry. So I made that switch back in 2021. Last year is when I really got out of litigation and joined these two sister organizations that are ministries. And I still do, you know, limited in-house counsel corporate work for my organizations, but by and large, I'm really fully into full-time ministry.
Well, take us now to what you're doing. When you talk about full-time ministry, what is JH Israel? And what about U.S. Israel Education Association, USIEA? Share with us about each of these organizations that you lead.
Thank you, Danny. Well, JH Israel is an organization that was started about 20 years ago. It's a subsidiary of an organization called JH Ranch out in California. And basically what JH Ranch does is runs programs for parents and teens, you know, and has a leadership curriculum for young, you know, adults, young teenagers and adults and their parents, you know, for what does biblical godly leadership look like? And it's basically a ministry of bringing families together, you know, under godly leadership. And so it's been very, very successful. And our founders decided that God was calling them to do something similar in Israel. So 20 years ago, they established these relationships with key leaders in Israel, and they built a national leadership center in Ariel, that's in Judea Samaria, in what is known as the West Bank. And so it is completely a Jewish curriculum. However, this leadership curriculum and biblical initiatives, you know, are open to both Jewish students, you know, and Arab students. So they come through this National Leadership Center and learn what leadership is, you know, based on biblical values, all completely Old Testament because it's Jewish, but it's a very interesting environment. It's a lot of experiential learning. People come together, Jews and Arabs, and learn to work together and live together. It's amazing. So we have contracts with the Ministry of Education in Israel, and students come in from all over Israel to our leadership center. Pre-IDF, IDF stands for Israeli Defense Forces. They're now coming in as well. Policemen, you know, are coming in to understand what does leadership from a godly perspective look like? So JH Israel supports that back in Israel. In the US, we also have a very strong prayer network that we run, a global prayer network that is just geared towards not only praying for Israel, but praying for the US, empowering just Christians to know how to live in the times that we live in victoriously. So in a nutshell, that's what JH Israel does. So USIEA, the US Israel Education Association, really was birthed about 11 years ago. So our founder, Heather Johnston, while working in Israel, you know, was standing in Judea, Samaria, which, by the way, 70% of our Bible is out of Judea, Samaria, events that happened in Judea, Samaria, which is, you know, as the Western world calls it, the West Bank. So she saw that here we were, you know, as a U.S., the whole world, trying to push for a two-state solution, you know, and bringing, you know, Israelis and Jewish and Arab people together, but not knowing what was going on in the West Bank. So she felt like God tell her, bring Congress and take Congress, not only through other parts of Israel, but through these other areas that people don't see. So they can see people that have to live together and how they can live and work together. You know, so she did that. And that birthed the U.S. Israel Education Association. So U.S. Israel Education Association is an education organization that brings together Israeli leaders and U.S. leaders to cooperate on areas of national security, on peace, on integrated business between both our countries and between Israelis and Palestinians. And so we are taking Congress, you know, to Israel, but at the same time, we're bringing Israel's leaders to Congress and just finding ways for our two countries to work together, you know, to mutually benefit each other, but also to benefit the peace process between Israelis, Jews, and Palestinian Arabs. So very different organizations, but very effective ministries.
Impactful work that you are a part of, that you're leading, that you continue to do. When you speak of peace, Jahan, we've got just a few seconds left, 15 to 30 seconds. Can you just say a word of peace to someone who is struggling? You've prayed for them, but just give a word of encouragement as we close our show.
Okay. Well, Danny, one of the verses that really encourages me comes out of the book of 1 Peter, and it says, Cast, I think it's 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord because he cares for you. We are in a season of anxiety and fear. You know, there are wars, rumors of wars, the epidemics, you know, reports of food shortages. There's a lot to be worried about. There's a lot that can cause us to lack peace. But the truth is, when we know and understand that there is a God that is bigger than the chaos and the convulsions that we see and experience, and that he actually cares about you and I, you know, then we can put our trust in him and know that no matter what happens, he is faithful and he is going to hold us in his hands. He's the one telling us, bring your cares to me, cast your anxieties, cast your worries upon me. I am much bigger than your problems, and I will help you. And if you will take a step of faith, if you and I will take that step of faith and say, God, I'm coming to you, and I'm trusting you with my problems, and I'm going to pray to you, and I'm going to turn over my life to you, Jesus, then he will give us a peace that we need. Then he will sort out those things that we cannot sort out for ourselves. He will come right alongside you and me to help us. He promised that, and he always keeps his promises.
Hope-filled words from Jahan Burns. Thank you to Jahan. For Psalm91@gmail.com, my friend, God's timing is perfect. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, hey, this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. If you'd like to join our prayer team or partner with us financially, visit drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. John 1, 4, and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jahan Burns for psalm91@gmail.com. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.